Well, Terry Wilkin is Professor of Endocrinology and Metabolism at the Peninsula Medical School in Plymouth, and I asked him to explain why there is such a strong link between being overweight and the risk of developing diabetes.
The basic abnormalities of obesity and their relationship are still being worked on very hard. It's a major research area. But the fundamental change is that we become resistant to our own insulin, and the body is built in such a way that if we become resistant to insulin on account of body weight increase, then we make more insulin. That's a natural response to try and overcome the resistance, but of course it can't go on forever. And we reach a time where we have now gained so much body weight, become so insulin resistant, that the cells that make the insulin can't work any harder, and there is a loss of control of the blood glucose, and when that goes up, then by definition we have diabetes.
Does it matter where we store that fat? I mean, there's a lot of research looking at the link between diabetes and intra-abdominal fat, people who are apple-shaped rather than pear-shaped.
Yeah. Now, it's crucial. And this is a very fundamental observation that was made some 60 years ago now by a Professor Varg in Marseille, who first described les pommes and les poires as the apples and the pears, because he realized that those who are apple-shaped, although they might carry the same weight as somebody else who was pear-shaped, were nevertheless at much greater risk of diabetes and heart disease and hypertension and stroke and so on.
But why is that? What's the difference between fat that's sitting inside your tummy and fat that's sitting on your hips on the bottom?
It literally is sitting inside your tummy, and that is the difference, because the fat that is around your middle is sitting inside the abdominal cavity, around the digestive organs, and anything that gets absorbed from within the abdominal cavity goes straight to the liver, whereas anything that gets absorbed from fat that's under the skin goes into the what we call the systemic or main circulation. Now, the importance about these products going to the liver from inside the abdomen is that the liver is a major site of glucose control. And this fat that's inside the abdomen isn't simply an inert stock of unneeded calories. It's in fact very active, and it produces a number of what we call adipokines, which are molecules that cause insulin resistance when they get to the liver. So it's very important where you store your fat. And if you happen to be overweight but pear-shaped, then that's pretty harmless metabolically. But if you're overweight and apple-shaped, then you're, I'm afraid, in trouble.
What about losing weight? If somebody has diabetes and is overweight, one of the first things we do is encourage them to lose weight. Is there any different approach depending on whether your fat is intra-abdominal, whether it's on your hips and bottom?
Well, if you reverse the balance that caused the weight gain in the first place, then you will lose the weight in the places that you've put it on. But there is other and perhaps more subtle approaches to this, because we know that physical activity in itself, irrespective of how much weight you lose, physical activity will drive fat out of the abdominal cavity. And that's probably one of the ways in which it's most helpful.
Might this be one of the ways in which physical activity seems to protect against things like heart disease and diabetes?
I'm quite sure it's very important. And the most extreme example in nature is the sumo wrestler, who might weigh 30 stones or 200 kilos, but their exercise regime is so intense, they carry very little fat actually inside the abdomen. That vast girth of the sumo wrestler is actually subcutaneous fat. And they are relatively insulin sensitive until they retire, and then unhappily, seldom will they pass 50, because all that fat will get redistributed back into the abdomen, and then the problems of insulin resistance and diabetes and so forth ensue.
Now, obesity is a huge problem in British adults, but perhaps it's even more of a problem in the next generation that are coming through. What should we be doing about this?
Well, I think it's a very under-researched area, because we spent a lot of time, perhaps 10 or 20 years, looking quite carefully and intensely at the adult, but we're one of the very few studies around the world, the early bird study in the Southwest, that is looking at children and asking the question, what is it about children that produces insulin resistance? And I think we are gaining evidence that physical activity is an important component, but it's not something that necessarily is something you can modify in a child. Diet may be more important than we think. I think what we have got is a group of young children nowadays who are seriously overweight. I mean, something like 25 to 30% of five-year-old girls are now overweight. And that is a legacy for the future that we really have to do something about, or we will be in major, major trouble.
Professor Terry Wilking. To put that risk into perspective, obese people are 25 to 30 times more likely to develop diabetes. And if you want to know whether you're laying fat down inside your abdomen, then just measure your waist. Ideally, women's waist should be less than 32 inches. Over 35 inches and the risks to health start to become substantial. Men's waists should be under 37 inches, with the risks increasing dramatically once they're over 40 inches.